Welcome one and all once again to Personal episode 45.
Is that you serious,
Mike? Is that 46? No, it's 45.
I don't know.
Oh, don't stop.
Better just say my serious face.
Your serious voice.
I heard that. That was pretty cute.
Okay, wow.
Welcome one and all.
But yes, joining me this week, as you can hear, we have Anthony.
Good day.
Good day, true believers.
We
have Eric, who's really excited for this podcast. He wanted to do it at 2 a.m. last night.
It was only midnight here. I was drunk. Come on.
I was probably still awake, to be honest.
See, honestly, really? I figured you would have been.
I was awake till 5 a.m. Like, oh, God. My sleeping pattern is so fucked up.
Yes, it is. And he would be joining us if he doesn't keep on signing off on us a dillion. But right now, he's in one of his random disconnect cycles.
I'll take the headphones out, see if I can hear.
So as he messes around with that,
yeah,
I mean, okay, we can introduce the episode. We're finally going to talk about Thor.
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 The jungle ninja.
Thor.
So yes, and I hopefully we make some terrible puns here.
My butt's Thor. I'm sitting here waiting for this intro to be over. How's that
I'm
for?
Sorry.
My bum Thor.
That's not a pun. Oh. That's not something anybody wants to know.
It's Thor. Come on. It's a pun.
No.
Lol.
Fuck.
Lol.
Lol.
What the fuck's he doing?
I have no idea anymore. But, yeah, since he actually wrote the review for the site, we'll have Anthony take the lead on this.
Oh, God, my review, which I hope no one read because it was terrible. But anyway.
That's good to know. That's a great way to encourage people to read what you wrote.
Yeah, go read my review and complain about it.
I can read it now. I've seen the movie.
So can I at some point.
It's not really that many spoilers in it, to be honest. That was right. It's not very good because I had to be careful about what I wrote. Because I couldn't,
you know, no one.
It's always difficult to... I mean, I understand why people say it, but I find that it's difficult to explain a spoiler in a comic book movie. Like, there's some stuff that are spoilers. Like, obviously, after credit scenes and stuff like that, which we'll talk about, but we'll give you a heads up. And a cameo from random Marvel characters. But other than that, I mean, good guy.
Well, actually, you know, at Kapow, when I went to the Thor panel, the guy who plays Loki actually said at the panel the bit in the movie when Loki defeats Thor, and then everyone was like, oh, but really, that's not a spoiler. You know that, you know, Loki's going to defeat Thor at the end. Thor's going to defeat Loki.
Yeah,
and he said that. But the bit when Thor defeats Loki, and everyone was like, oh my God, he just spoiled it. And really, he's not, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It's like saying, oh, okay, you know, what, Spider-Man beats up Doc Ock at the end of Spider-Man 2. At the end of the day, you know, there hasn't been a superhero movie where the hero is just at the end. I mean, a case can kind of be made for The Dark Knight, but... Yes, we won't talk about it since Eric was talking about Batman. Is he sneezing?
I remember some of my friends getting angry with me because I think I said I showed him a clip of Two-Face before they seen the movie, and that was like a spoiler saying Two-Face was in The Dark Knight, which it kind of was, to be honest.
Yeah, that I can kind of see because he was kind of advertised as Harvey Dent throughout it. It's like
if you didn't know Two-Face was in that movie, it would have been so much better.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't expect Rachel to die, but we're not supposed to be talking about. I was honestly shocked when Rachel died.
You're killing me here, man.
Sorry, I didn't want to talk about Batman at all, but it just came up.
Like a boner, it just comes up.
Yeah, pretty much. When it comes up, you got to deal with it, you know.
Okay, back to Thor.
Yeah.
Is your boner Thor?
Oh, God.
Eric.
It sounded like you said a bonosaur, like some type of boner dinosaur.
Okay, girl, calm down.
I didn't say anything.
Uh-huh. Next thing you know, it'll be all shimmering goodness.
Am I supposed, Am I supposed to be talking about Thor now?
Yeah, you were, but you were talking about Batman, so I had to intercede. I'm sorry.
Batman.
Intervention.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Thor. I liked it. It was a really fun, enjoyable movie. Just the scene in Jotunheim near the beginning when the Warriors 3 and 4 and Loki go fighting Frost Giants. That alone would have been enough for me, because that scene had everything I wanted to see in that anyway. But the rest of the movie was cool, and with Anthony Hopkins being, oh, I'm Anthony Hopkins, and, you know.
And he was
Jane Foster being, me, and all that stuff. It was great, yeah.
I enjoyed that first fight scene too, man, especially the way he was spinning the hammer. I was like, I never thought he would use it that way, you know, skipping rocks and stuff and frost giants. I'm like, now that is fucking cool.
And it doesn't
look like he used it to fly. I was like, oh my god! I had like a nerdgasm.
I was about to say, it doesn't look as dorky as it does in the Avengers cartoon. I really don't like that in the cartoon.
With the fly?
Well, when he spins the hammer to fly up or to just like take up momentum,
what?
I thought about that, man. That's his trademark.
I just never Stanley
did that because he didn't want to be, he didn't want Thor to be like Superman. Do you know where Superman just like takes flying? He just kind of like lifts off the earth. There's no like motivation or I don't know what the right word is for it, but
set up.
he wanted Thor to like have some
trademark
thing leading him into flying. So he did it where he spins Mjolnir around and then he swings up in the air and then he goes flying. So that's like, yeah, it's like Thor's thing, like Eric said. So
it is. And it is, especially now since that movie, man. Just the way, man, I want a hammer with a rope on it so I can swing it like a fucking madman.
I didn't think they were going to include that because it could have looked silly. I don't think it looked silly.
I was impressed with the Frost Giants, too. I was like, I don't know, they didn't look that big in the trailer to me, but.
They don't look huge in the movie either,
enough.
They're bigger than. I always thought they were like huge, like giant creatures. I mean, they're taller than Thor and his Asgardians, but, you know, they're not like towering mammoths. But yeah, awesome fighting. Speaks to the characters of the, I don't know that. What were their names?
Volstagg?
You mean Warriors 3? Yeah.
Vandrel. And Sif. That was one of the things that bothered me, man, was how Sif was just one of the warriors, not... I always thought Thor had a thing for Sif.
He does.
They didn't really get into that, though, did they?
No, he's just like, I want to hump the little tiny girl.
I was going to say, it seems like she has a thing for Thor, but he doesn't have a thing for her in the movie.
Did you see that? And I didn't really see that.
The way, like, some of the scenes, like, especially, I think, at the end, when he comes to the dinner, she looks at him in such a way. But it could just be that they didn't want to confuse the audience because he... Okay.
So the last thing I heard was you were talking about Sif.
Okay, so let's go back from the start. I was saying that, at least to me, it seems like they had a thing for... Like, she had a thing for him. Like, near the end during the dinner scene when he comes in. Maybe it's just kind of like a sisterly love for him or whatever. But I was also saying that they probably didn't want to confuse the audience because he, you know, he has a relationship with Jane Foster. So it makes no sense to kind of set up like a love triangle when he's got, you know, you want to make this relationship between a god and a normal woman more believable instead of saying it's a god and he has another god up there interested in him.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, where it is Sif and Thor are like in a romance and it's Donald Blake and Jane Foster who are in a romance. But since Donald Blake isn't really in the movie, is he? Well, Thor and Donald Blake aren't the same like character. He probably just wanted to focus like on the Jane Foster romance because she was played by Natalie Portman and you know she's the biggest star in the movie or something. I don't know.
Can see why they went around that though, man, because that would make for a longer introduction to, you know what I mean, to get to Thor. If you started with Donald Blake and him getting in the accident and tapping the stick and blah, blah, there's 45 minutes of your movie gone.
Yeah, you kind of get an origin with him reclaiming the hammer, but it's not, you know, he's already Thor at the beginning of the movie and he kind of uses the power and then he has to get it back at the end. He has to earn it. So, you know, it's kind of it's still an origin in the sense that you kind of introduce in the world to his universe, but you do it in such a way that he's powered up at the beginning, and then you kind of see why he has to earn back this mantle.
Yeah, it's a slightly different take on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Than what we keep seeing in every superhero film. It's not just the same origin regurgitated for different character.
It works well for some characters. I mean, I think, you know, like Batman and Spider-Man, I think you kind of have to expand it because their origins are so important to their characters. Where like somebody with like Superman, like you don't really have to explain how he gets to Earth. You just have to touch on how important his family upbringing was to him developing to become the Man of Steel. I would also assume Wolverine's origins aren't that important, but we had an entire movie dedicated to that.
My opinion on Wolverine, and this might just be me. The less I know about Wolverine, the more I actually like about the character.
That's why everybody liked him, man. The mystery.
Yeah, I like. It's the same thing with the Joker. You know, you don't. The Killing Joke is a really good book, but you don't really need to know the Joker's origin to love the character. Because I loved the Joker before I read the Killing Joke anyway. And yeah, but the Killing Joke is considered the Joker's origin, isn't it?
But I was about to say, because even in the book, he says that, you know, if I have an origin, I prefer it to be multiple choice. So it's like that's always been the thing with him. It's like, oh, we'll just give you a bunch of different ones and you can pick which one you like if you want one.
Yeah. But it's the same thing with Wolverine. I think I read the Origins book, which the movie is loosely based on. Do you know when he's a kid and he's got the claws? I think I read that.
The beginning part, sure, yeah.
I thought the bone claws looked still in the movie as well, personally.
Yeah, because I think I mentioned this before on the podcast. Like, I think sometime actually I got like that whole docket from my comic book store, like giving me an update on like Wolverine's history and like how he was born, and like when he was born, like he was adopted and he killed his father or something like that. And yeah, it gives you up to date until like 2009 when he finds out about his son and how he faked the fight with his son so his son could kill him or something like that.
That's what I, you know, when that Wolverine Origins, came out, Origins, the book,
yeah,
the ongoing the series by Daniel Way, not the one by Paul Jenkins and Joe Q.
The crappy one.
The hell's that one called? I can't even remember now. Anyways, I thought that would be a delving into the past of Wolverine, so you could really find out about him, because more of his, I think, you know, there's still a lot untouched, because that book didn't really go into that. It just went into the stuff about his kid right away, and kind of turned into his kid's comic. Turned into a Dakin.
Didn't they retitle it to Dakin or something?
There was Dark Wolverine for a little while, and then
isn't that what Origins turned into?
I don't remember, to be honest. I know the series is over now. I have the entire run. I'd like my money back, please. Other than that, there is an ongoing right now of Dakin.
Yeah, my brother buys it. I don't read it, though.
It's weird. He's strange. I'll give it that.
So, I mean, what did you folks think of the relationship between Jane Foster and Thor in the movie?
Meh.
I don't know. It was good. It was kind of like Jane Foster being the little giddy schoolgirl swooning over the jock in some parts, but...
Yeah.
Well, that was only really one part, and that's when she sees him shirtless.
I do think it was quite charming at the end where he kissed her hand and said, "I'll be back for you, Jane Foster," or something like that. I thought that was quite charming.
And then she laid a big one on him.
She was just sucking his mustache.
Oh, did they actually make out?
Yeah. She
kisses him. Did you see a different run or episode of this?
I've seen it twice. I honestly cannot remember them kissing.
You remember that? She kisses her hand, and she just grabs him. She's like, "You asshole."
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Apparently, you just blacked out that part of the... I don't know if it's because he kissed Natalie Portman or she kissed Chris Hemsworth, but...
Man, that guy, he sure looks like Thor, especially when he was trying to pick up his hammer. That I was like, wow, that looks just like a scene from one of the comics. Badass. Mm. I like it.
And he looks very vastly different than his other roles, because he was the captain in Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
He's cut James he Kirk's
father, the guy in the opening scene. It's nothing like that in this movie.
But I mean, he's all scruffy and Asgardian, and there he's supposed to be clean-cut military.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the other human characters? I thought Darcy was an awesome character in this movie.
Really? I thought she was annoying, to be honest.
Really? Like, she served as a comic relief, and I thought she got that. She got across really well.
I don't like Kat Dennings that much, to be honest, though.
Yep.
If I'm honest.
Okay,
I agree.
I think she was in there to appeal to, like, the teenage girl demographic, and she succeeded in doing that.
Well, I was about to say, wouldn't Chris Hemsworth also appeal to that teenage girl demographic?
Well, you know what I mean. Do you need female characters in it? They can't just have, like, Jane Foster in the movie, because then it's not going to look that appealing to girls. They need as many girls in it as they can put in without it seeming like a girls movie. There's really only... There's, like, four girl characters in it. One of which is hardly on screen, which is his mother, Freya. And then Sifu's a big warrior.
Yeah, Renee Russo, is that her name? Yep. The mother?
Darcy's like the I guess she's the human you can relate to the most.
Yeah, and she's also, I guess, around to translate the scientific babble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think, like, I know my theater when we were watching it, like, they went crazy over the parts where, like, when she tased him, and then, like, when he's in the back of the trunk and she's like, I need to reload my taser and whatever.
No, when they, yeah, she's like, we're going back to get him. She's like, okay, and she pulls her taser out and starts recharging it. I was like,
My theater really loved those scenes, and I thought she worked well in her roles. I mean, her role, you know, as comic relief and the science techno translator.
Yeah, I guess.
What about
it wasn't necessary though? That's my issue.
It wasn't necessary.
No, I don't think it was.
I kind of think it does, because I mean, if then it's just like Thor and Jane Foster, and I don't think that's as interesting without Darcy and even the other scientist dude whose name I'm forgetting.
Eric Stevenson.
Elvix Slavang or something. Eric Slavang. Yeah. That's not the actor's name. That's the character's name.
Yeah, the character's name was Eric. That stuck out to me.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I was like, I think the whole time. I wonder if he spells it with a C or a K. Thanos.
That's what it is. It spells out Thanos. It doesn't really. That's obvious. Sorry, that was terrible. I'll go home now.
Well, you're already home, but...
Yep.
Put your head in a pillowcase.
But yeah, I thought the humans worked well for, you know, because... I think he needed, not only did Thor need that type of connection, but I think you needed Jane Foster not to just be somebody who stumbles upon a god. She needed to have some type of real-world connections to begin with. And as we'll get to in a bit, at the end, you also kind of get that scene with the other professor that leads into the Avengers.
Assemble!
Just gonna do that.
What did you think? Because I know there was a big fuss about the gatekeeper. And I'm sorry, I'm really terrible with Thor characters' names.
Heimdall.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Heim. I liked him, man. He didn't bother me. Yeah, like he was badass,
And he did a really good voice, a really good job with his voice as well in post. Like,
and he looked cool, man. I think he looked really cool.
I think the whole of Asgard was very visually appealing, especially the Rainbow Bridge.
I don't know. The part with Heimdall that stood out for me was when he asked them, "Are you guys willing to betray your king, lie to blah blah blah, and do all this?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Good." And he just walks away, and they're like, "What?"
Yeah.
The guy said I wouldn't. I'm leaving.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. Is like he knows, you know, what's up.
Yeah.
And he's a man of honor and respect, and he has this quiet dignity. And there goes Dylan again.
He can bust it's like no man. That was wicked. I was like, yeah.
I've got to be honest. I was kind of wondering. Do you know how they did the character posters where there was Loki, Odin, Jane Foster, Thor, and then Heimdall got one as well. I was kind of wondering why they gave him one, because I didn't think he doesn't really have like a huge part, does he? But he is good on screen.
You know what I noticed, man, is should I wait for Dylan before we get into this? I don't know. I was just thinking because the Bifrost played a really big role in that movie.
Like lot
bigger
true.
Than I thought it would. And I mean, he's the guardian of the Bifrost, so he's, I don't know. I think he is one of the more forefront characters.
Yeah, I mean, for you, when you think about it, if you think about like a Guardian of the Bridge or the dimensional thing, yeah. But he does have, I think he has a huge presence in the movie because, yeah. I mean, he's in several key scenes, as Eric mentioned one before. He's in the scene with Loki, which is awesome. Yeah. He's in the scene with the ice giant.
Frost giants. Get it right.
Frost giants. I'm sorry. So he does have his moments to shine. He has a great on-screen presence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he kind of has this air about him where you want to see more about him. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want to see an entire movie dedicated to him.
He came off quite powerful to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I was like, as he should be. He's the guardian. He should be able to see what's coming. And yeah.
I find it odd.
I'd be quite happy if he's in 4-2. With a bit more.
Is there a sequel? Was there talk of a sequel?
They're supposed to be writing it now, I think.
See,
but it depends on Avengers, doesn't it? Because it's going to be set after Avengers. It's the same with Iron Man 3.
I was thinking.
Well, Iron Man 3 is independent on Avengers, as far because it's being made.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Iron Man's already established franchise, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Avengers, Captain America, Thor kind of depend on Avengers, but Iron Man itself is like a
yeah.
Apparently somebody had a money sound effect already, but it's a cash cow. it makes no sense to get rid of that. My beef, though, is I don't know, because I think part of the appeal to this movie and most of the best parts for me, and not to say the fight scenes weren't awesome or anything, were the parts where he was kind of human, especially the part where he drives through game his hammer.
I like that.
Yeah, that was an awesome, and I'm just wondering, like, how do you do a movie where he's powered up for the entire thing?
Because, what's the threat are you going to come up with? Is that what you're going
to
do?
Well, I was actually...
Go ahead.
Go on, Eric. You first. No, well, you first.
Okay, I was expecting more of an epic ending, to be honest with you. Maybe a little hint at some Ragnarok, maybe some Surtur, something like that, you know? But there was none of that there, and I kind of felt let down. I wanted more when it was over.
I guess my biggest problem with the ending is it's almost as close as a to be continued as you can get without saying to be continued.
Exactly.
But what I was gonna say, Earl, and this is going back to, you know, when you use the No Fretler, when Thor is in the Avengers in the comics, he's like the powerhouse on the team. He's like the guy who comes along to hit things, and you don't, when he's on the team, he doesn't really need that personal threat, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, but
does that actually make any sense?
No, I get. I understand what you mean. I get him in the Avengers movie, but I'm talking about like in Thor 2, because because part of it is like if the threat gets so big that you also have to deal with the fact that he needs to spend time on Earth, and I mean I could see like there are, you know, he does have giant enemies and creatures and stuff to fight, but like,
yeah, he's tons of stuff.
How many of them can actually kind of like hold a movie and not just be like this big bad threat? Like, I mean, I guess you have that Loki fan of Uther role where he's always kind of has his hand in everything going on.
I'd be quite happy with that, to be honest, because I thought Tom Hiddleston was great as Loki.
Yeah, I'll agree.
I thought he was great, except I thought the end when he was revealing his master plot was just really confusing. Well, not confusing.
So did I, but I thought about that probably too much, and it makes more sense now.
But not that it was confusing. It just seems like a lot of work to get his end game going. Like, he just had so many pieces lined up.
Are we on about the post-credit scene, or...
No, the end. He's, like, talking about, like, how he tricked the Frost Giant into coming in.
Well, that's what Loki's about, though. Loki's about the scheming and the manipulating. That's what he does.
The Prince of Mischief.
But at the end of the day, his whole scheming and stuff wasn't even about getting the throne. It was just about getting his father's acceptance.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought it was fine.
I thought that was just too much work to do that. Like, I thought his end game was to become the Asgardian, you know, ruler.
Yeah, but he could be king. He wanted to prove himself worthy to his dad so his dad could pass the kingship on to him.
But he was already king at that point. Yes, I realize that Odin wasn't dead, but...
I thought what I quite liked actually is the trailers led me to think that Loki wanted to destroy Earth, when in fact he wanted to destroy Jotunheim, didn't he? Which I thought was quite good, because I was expecting this big plot where he just wants to blow up the Earth pretty much, but it's the same plot, it's just a different planet. I thought it was good.
A different realm.
Yeah, a realm planet. Tomato, tomato. But yeah,
you corrected me for saying ice giant.
Oh, those are frost giants.
Frosties.
I know, but I'm saying they specifically say they specifically mention that them being realms and not different planets.
Oh, I think in the movies they are just different planets, aren't they?
He does.
Oh,
no, they say explains its different universes, right?
Yeah,
when
it's
drawn
under
the tree of life. Which I also I thought was pretty cool, man. Whenever you'd see them standing at, like, I don't know, I kind of pointed, I noted when I was watching if there was any kind of conversation and you could see the background around the Bifrost, the Rainbow Bridge, you could see the different galaxies. Do you know what I mean? As it kind of panned around, I was like, now that's cool.
It looked really pretty.
Yeah, look, I don't know. It made Asgard feel a lot more epic. Like it was the center.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I think that part of the appeal to this movie is that, you know, as I have Batman and Spider-Man, but they've all been set in like real world locations. They've been in New York and technically Gotham, but that's Chicago and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, you know, I've been there. I know that. You can't say you've been to any place in Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, unless you've been drinking or high or whatever.
Or both.
Or both. But yeah, you can't say like, oh yeah, you know, like for Spider-Man example, the climax in the first movie, I used to work on that island where that happened. So I knew where that Troy scene was filmed and stuff.
Oh, look at you.
With Asgard,
I gotta be honest, just with Spider-Man, when I went to New York a couple of years ago, I was so made up that I saw, you know, the building they use for the Daily Bugle. I was like, oh my god, it's the Daily Bugle! I was like, yeah.
I geeked out a bit. Well, Spider-Man doesn't count as much to me because I live in New York, so I kind of know what they're mimicking. But yeah, my friend lives in Chicago, and like when the Dark Knight was filming, he used to send me pictures of like the Wayne Tower, Wayne Enterprise building, and like the scene where they flipped the truck, he passed by there one day when they were shooting that.
Nice.
I don't want to reroute this too much, but it's kind of the same thing I'm hoping with the Green Lantern movie, is that always going to be something, you know, I assume always going to be a focus in the movie, and again, it's going to be something that we haven't really seen before.
Did you guys see the new trailer?
Yes.
Like the latest
3D
one?
Trailer. That looks great in 2D, even though it's supposed to promote the 3D movie.
Well, I don't think it's in 2D. I think it's in 2D when you see it on your computer. And for now,
but it looks great in 2D though. That's my point.
Well, it's supposed to look great in 2D.
Isn't it a trailer that's supposed to,
yeah,
like
and from
trailer, isn't it?
And from the people who went to see it in 3D, two people, they said it looks fantastic in 3D. Not going to go see the trailer because it's in front of Pirates 4.
Oh, hey, okay, that's
yeah.
End of line. Let's. Did you guys see it in 2D or 3D?
2D.
Yeah, me too.
Which Pirates 4 or
Thor
trailer? 4, I sent it in 2D twice.
Really? Okay.
Did you see it in 3D?
No, I had the option and I was like, no.
I don't do 3D movies.
My theater was kind of crappy, man. Honestly, like the sound was, there was kind of some popping through the whole thing. Anytime there was action, there was like some serious popping going on. And the screen was sketchy.
It's kind of sad, but it seems like the 2D screens were treated as
Yeah,
because like when I went to go see it, like you could like the 2D screens would be like, I guess they had it in one theater, and then the 3D you'd have like every like 45 minutes they have a new showing, and I'm like, yeah, that kind of leans towards people buying it one way, not the other.
Mm-hmm.
I went watching Pirates of the Caribbean 4 the other day in 2D, and I was really surprised that I was in one of the biggest screens in the multiplex, because I thought we were going to be in, you know, one of the small screens, but we were in one of the biggest screens for a 2D showing, because usually the big screens now are reserved for 3D showings. So I was quite surprised we were in one of the big screens.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because especially being at every movie this summer is coming out with a 3D version.
Except X-Men.
You just wanted to throw that out there.
I just think it's quite interesting how the superhero movie Fox is putting out is in 2D and not 3D.
Well, I think because they didn't want to throw any more money to the X-Men budget because it's a pretty cheap movie, isn't it?
I don't think the effects look pretty good, man.
But I don't mean it looks bad. I mean, it's like a cheap movie. I think it's all you made.
It's relatively low budget, I think.
Yeah,
especially compared to like Green Lantern or something. Or Pirates 4 even, which is $200 million.
What?
I was about to say, most things are low budget compared to like Green Lantern. I think Green Lantern's like $200
million. Billion.
Million, not billion.
I think the most expensive superhero movie to date ever is Superman Returns, which is like $250
Yeah.
See. But a lot of that, and this is the same thing that happened with Tangled, is a lot of that sometimes goes into the fact that they start and restart these movies so often. Because, you know, like Superman Returns had like 15 different directors and 75 different scripts. So, you know, you have to pay everybody every time they write a new script and every time they come out with a new, you know, they catch a new actor and a new director and then this person drops out for that reason. They still get paid for part of it, I assume.
And did you, Eric, have you seen Tangled? I mean, not Eric, sorry, Earl, have you seen Tangled?
Yes, I did. Good movie.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a,
I think I enjoyed it more than Princess and the Frog, to be honest.
I've heard that before. I think people are just racist.
What? I mean, I love... The reason I'm surprised I say that is I love hand-drawn animation, which Princess and the Frog was, but I prefer... Because they're both fairy tales, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I think I actually liked Tangled more. And I seen Tangled in 3D as well. And I really enjoyed it.
So which one had the racist frogs? That's what I want to know.
Princess and the Frog. And it doesn't have racist frog. It has... Because it's the it's the first Disney movie that has stars fat characters. And I was just making a joke that if you don't like it, that necessarily means you're racist. But
it's a good movie though, Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, they both are.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney's back on their you know, they had a rough streak there with like Country Bears and some other stuff we don't talk about.
Yeah.
But anything else on Thor that we might have missed?
Loki. Did we talk about Loki enough?
We loved him. You gave him a hand job after the show. That's all I heard.
Glad he's in Avengers.
Yeah, that should be good.
It means I don't have to wait till 4-2 to see Tom Hiddleston play him again, because I get to see him next year in the Avengers.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
What was I going to say? What about the fight scenes? I know you folks mentioned the first one.
But the fight with the Destroyer was pretty good, I thought.
I thought the fight with the Destroyer was pretty weak.
Really?
The thing with that is, right, in superhero movies, you got... I'm not sure if we talked about this or I heard this on another podcast, but it's like, it's the bad guy, it's the good guy, and they've both got blasters, and it's like, my blaster's bigger than yours. No, it's not. I'm going to blast you, but... And it's pretty generic, but it was all right. It's the same, like, you know, with... both Iron Man movies pretty much have same final fight.
I think somebody said, I forget who it was, but they said who knew the Iron Man movies would end in the Transformers fight.
I think I've said that a few times.
Because it just ends up with two giant robots beating the crap out of each other for a bit.
Which is a shame, especially with Iron Man, because Iron Man is fantastic. And just imagine how good Iron Man would be if that final fight was actually good.
Well, but who would he fight, though?
Well, I'm more curious about how he would fight.
It has to get... That's the problem. That's the problem the movie sets up from the beginning. It has to get to a point where the end fight is just two men in big robot suits fighting. There's not really a way you can get around that. It has to do it, but I don't know. It's weird.
Well, that worked for me, man. I was like, that's cool. Makes sense.
Yeah.
With Iron Man 2, they could have done it some other way, because I don't think Mickey Rourke's character had to put on a suit of armor, to be honest.
Yeah.
But on the same hand, like, Whippy Ash isn't the type of villain that would have made a compelling fight too long anyhow. I think the best characters for that type of fight, you get Batman, Wolverine, and Spider-Man, because they're, you know, they have flexible villains and they can actually fight, well, to a degree. Where Iron Man, he just kind of blesses people. There's even an episode of Avengers dedicated to the fact that he can't fight.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, Captain America, I hope, has an awesome fight scene at the end. And not just him throwing his shield at somebody to stop them real quick.
See, that's... I was let down with the ending of Thor. I was like, that's it? You're just going to...
I kind of felt like that, but I'm not sure if it's because I wanted to see more or if it was the weak ending. You know, because it was like, because the last shot is that one of Heimdall and Thor, and it just kind of like goes off, and it's like, what? Really? Yeah, is that the ending?
What about the Bifrost? You know, like, what the hell? You're just going to leave it there?
Well, it's half broken. And I think that
I found the fight, him and Loki's fight, was kind of weak. It should have been more magic from Loki.
Yeah, I didn't expect Yoki to beat him up so easily.
He wouldn't fight him at first, that's true. But you know what?
Loki's not really a fighter, is he?
He should have revealed. He should have been like, look upon my true face. Showed him that he was a frosty.
I think this movie has the Spider-Man 2 thing going for me, where I think the first fight's awesome and then every other fight kind of loses its appeal after that. I like the scene. I like the first fight with the Frost Giants. I like the fight the action scene when he tries to get his Mjolnir back.
The hammer. Yeah.
Mjolnir.
Then the climax, you know, the Destroyer fight is like all your 5 seconds once he gets the hammer.
I guess so. I actually, in Spider-Man 2, my favorite scene in the movie is the fight on the subway car.
Wow.
I think that's my favorite fight.
My favorite fight in the movie is the one on the clock tower.
Mm-hmm.
Does that start off with the bank?
I agree with Earl.
Yeah, that's the one that starts at the bank.
Yeah, that is a really good one. Don't get me wrong. I just like the one on the subway car as well.
Yeah, and again, I like the one on the subway, but again, it's the start, and then the climax is just awful. Well, not awful, but it's not as it's not as great as their first two fights.
So how about that Hawkeye?
I think it's just when they get to.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a great transition.
That was weak.
Yeah.
Both the transition and the appearance. anybody?
I liked his appearance a lot.
Did you? He didn't do anything, man. I was like, that was fucking lame. Well, he swings in a bucket.
Crossbow. I didn't think. Like, I thought that'd be it, and then you actually see him just easily climbed up on the tower where the other guys were, but, it's a cool scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if you're going to do an appearance of that caliber, he's got to do something. So people are going, who the hell's that guy? He's quite forgettable. You know? Who's the guy with the crossbow who didn't shoot?
I thought Jeremy Armour, so many connection problems.
Yeah, see, I was going to say, it's the same issue I kind of had with the after credit scene.
That was lame too.
About that now.
Are we all in agreement that was a cosmic cube or what?
Okay. What I was saying was it was cool because I didn't think we'd actually see him or hear him talk, but he did, even though it was through stupid circumstances. So yeah.
Okay. But nobody even really, even my nephew was with me, and I was like, "Do you know who that is?" He's like, "No," and I'm like, "Are you going to? Do you want to know?" And he's like, "Sure." I'm like, "All right." And he's like, "Who's the Hawkeye guy?" And I was like, "Dude, you don't even watch the cartoon." He was like, "No." I'm like, "Wow." Why did I bring you?
He does in the cartoon.
What's that?
And he looks nothing like he did in the cartoon anyway.
Well, no, but I mean, I have something to compare it to, right? Like, if you just walk up to some random kid on the street.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and As I was saying before, that's the same issue with the post-credit scenes, which for people who haven't seen the movie, this is going to be the spoiler section, even though we kind of had spoilers before.
Well, this whole thing's been a spoiler.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the Cosmic Cube.
That's what I thought.
Who said otherwise? I thought it was
obvious. It's not who said otherwise. It's that 95% of the people coming out of the movie have no idea what the hell it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? A lot of people who are older who have seen Pulp Fiction probably thought, what the hell, is that the thing that was in the box in the movie Pulp Fiction?
That's the other thing, is that it's a giant briefcase, and there's a lot of weird techno stuff around it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird, because you're supposed to focus on this one item in it, and not everything else around it. I guess I'm missing something.
I don't know. I thought maybe it was that blue box that the Frost Giants were trying to get.
No, it wasn't that.
Yeah,
that'd be easy.
And that's the thing. It's the Cosmic Cube, and everybody's like, oh. And that's the first thing. As soon as we came out the movie, my friends all turned to me.
What the hell is that?
That is? I'm like, yeah. They're like, does anybody know what that is? I'm like, that's the Cosmic Cube. They're like, you read about this beforehand. I'm like, no, I actually know what it is, but
that's impressive.
Most other people, it's just, well, I mean, I it's on the Avengers cartoon, and that episode just aired recently.
Oh, and that's the only reason you know, right?
No, it's not, actually, because it's also...
There is an official Captain America still of Hugo Weaving in his character holding the cube as well. But I guess the average person's not going to know that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, I mean, with Thor's hammer...
This is the tie to Captain America. That cube.
Say that again, Eric.
This is going to be the tie-in to Captain America.
Yeah, it's going to explain
with the cube.
With the layman.
No, it's the tie-in to Captain America or the Avengers.
Well,
I read
it was directed by Josh Whedon, which makes me think it's a tie into Avengers more than the Captain America, because I'm sure, so, you know.
I bet you in the Captain America movie, we will see the cube being utilized.
You'll see the cube in the movie, but what I mean is that, like, if you've seen Iron Man 2, you know that scene from the end of Iron Man 2 is actually in Thor.
Yeah, because it's directed by Branagh as well.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that this scene is going to be in the Avengers.
Yeah.
Right.
I actually, that was one of the first things I said.
It's not quite the same scene, though, man. Sorry.
Like I said, that I bet that's pretty much a scene that's going to be in Avengers.
Now, Anthony's breaking
up. Again, Eric, isn't he? I'm having a lot of problems today. What did you say, Eric?
I don't think that's the same scene, man.
What? From Iron
Man? No.
Yeah, the end of Iron Man and in the beginning, because at the end of Iron Man, it's just Coulson by himself and they've found something, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same type of... But you never...
same setup, yes, I know.
Yeah. It's like the same dialogue. It's just like expanded.
Do you think the same set?
I would say... Yeah. Well, do you ever it's see... I can't remember the end of Iron Man 2. I was about to say,
Someone pointed out to me that apparently at the end of Iron Man 2, you don't actually see any people in the crater, although I think you do.
I don't know if there are people in the crater.
It's not exactly shot for shot the same scene.
But it's like...
Again, it is the same scene. It's just Thor uses different shots compared to the ones of...
I think at
the end of Iron Man 2.
I think there's enough information in it for you to kind of realize that it's supposed to be the same scene.
Yeah, but what we seen in what the end of Iron Man 2?
Oh no, there's people in the scene in Iron Man 2.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm watching it right now.
You suck.
Yeah, well,
there's cars and stuff
said
in there.
It wasn't
okay.
Thinking.
Yeah.
In the crater, it's like the Hickster.
But you can't see, but you can see that there's cars and stuff driving around it.
That was good with Stanley's cameo too. I like that.
Yes,
I think that's one of his work.
That's one of his better ones, definitely.
Yeah. At least he got
that. What
is your least favorite Stanley cameo?
The one
Fantastic Four 2.
Is that the one when he's in the wedding?
I should be on that list. I'm Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I liked him in the first one though. He played Willy Lumpkin, right?
Yeah, that was good.
We should have left that.
Just been the same character.
Yeah, they should have.
Yep. He's also in X-Men 1, right? Where he's the first person who sees Senator Kelly come out the water.
Yep.
He's at the hot dog stand or something.
Yeah. I don't think he's one of the Incredible Hulk either.
Yeah.
I like his
probably because he does.
I hate his Iron Man.
I like those. Hey, Hugh!
The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk one. He's actually kind of worked into the movie like he is with Thor. Yeah. Whereas Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2... He's kind of just forced in there just for the sake of giving him a cameo.
It kind of breaks the flow of things, I think, Iron Man.
I prefer it when he's weaved into it more. Do you know where they kind of give him a character rather than cameo, if you get what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like when Spider-Man, what is it? He just grabs the girl.
My least favorite is Fantastic Four 2. Spider-Man 3 is close behind that when he says that line to... Peter Parker, like Nuff said, was like, oh my god, what are you doing? We know that Stanley, you don't have to fucking tell us. We've seen him in the two previous movies. Just fucking get on with it.
But enough rampant raging of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think that's it for Thor. If there's anything else we want to discuss.
Thor will return in the Avengers.
I found it weird that people were complaining about that.
I just said it reminded me of Superman 3 saying Superman will return in Superman 4.
It reminds me more of the James Bond series.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I made a joke about that, actually. It's like Thor will return in James Bond.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't think we talked about the ending proper, but there's not much to say other than the fact that it literally just is like, just ends. There's like no type of build up to the ending. It's just like, they're working on a way to come to you, so you know that's gonna be in the Avengers or something like that.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like, okay.
It's just
Loki's obviously on Midgard, So that means there's a connection there. So maybe it'll be him that finds the way back.
Well, I mean, even then, that's kind of, I'm talking about the ending. That's the post-credit scene.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Rebuild the Bifrost with the cosmic cube. You'd think Odin would be powerful enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Well, somebody had to build it the first time.
Exactly. Get on it, Heimdall. Yep. Or whatever.
But,
somebody put that guy to work.
Yeah. I mean, while we have time, because we're almost at the hour mark here.
Oh, my.
Let's briefly talk about some Thor comic books you would recommend to people coming out of this movie.
Hells yeah.
Because there's not many out there.
Who wants to go for? I mean, we're gonna have to probably keep this short. So
we got nothing. Read JMS's run. It was good.
Yeah, JMS run.
Is this the first time people actually recommended?
Stories loosely based on it.
Are people actually recommending JMS on this for once?
What?
His JMS 4 is good. I've said that several times on this show.
I didn't say it was bad.
JMS 4 is good.
Me and Anthony have said Capel
is the fucking shit. He's one of the best artists currently in comics.
You like that guy's art, huh?
Dylan has some suggestions for us as well.
I'm going to combine two of them right now. The Ultimates 1 and 2 by Mark Millar and Brian Hitch. There's not a whole lot of other than that piece.
Ignore them, Dylan. They're good books. I'm with you. Just ignore those.
A different take on Thor, though.
Isn't he a hippie in those books?
Kind of.
Let the man talk. Come on, Dylan. Sir.
Okay. There's not a whole lot of influence in the movie, other than that he's not Donald Blake in the movie because he's not in the book, and there are some scenes actually though, like. Thor's in a shield prison cell at one point, and Loki shows up, but no one else can see him, and he starts talking to him, just like in Thor, the movie. Mm. It's kind of cool, because you don't really know it doesn't actually go out and say he's a god until, like, the very end of it, so everyone just thinks he's kind of a crazy bastard. It's kind of funny. And the relationship between him and Tony is, like, awesome in it, because they're a bunch of idiots drinking a lot and partying, basically. I enjoyed them and Thor's in them, so read them. And it'll probably have some, like the Avengers, I'm sure will take some influence from them with their modernizing and realism kind of thing.
Dylan, have you read...
Have
you read Hickman's Ultimate Thor miniseries?
I just got the first issue, and then I kind of forgot to buy the rest.
Oh, you should finish that.
But I do want to get the trade. Yeah, I'm going to get the trade soon.
It's more of a fleshing out of the Thor in the Ultimate Universe, and I think I like the character now. I didn't like him as much in the books that you were talking about, the Ultimates runs.
Oh, and if for some reason Dylan reminded
me... Yeah, it does...
Go on.
Just flipping through that issue, actually. Yeah, it is definitely fleshing it out a bit, and it intrigued me just plot-wise. I won't spoil it or anything, but it's had some interesting developments with Nazis.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't read that purely because it's Jonathan Hickman, so.
Yeah, and Carlos.
Pistachio!
Pistachio! Reminded me of Thor. Okay! They remind me of a Thor in the movie that I enjoyed. Because, you know, I call him Thor Odinson.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call him anyhow.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like when he's talking to Coulson, he's like, son of Cole, because, you know, Odinson's like... And I thought that was cheesy but cute. Like, son of Cole, I will promise you I will come back. Just give Jane Foster her stuff or whatever. So... I thought that was a nice year to throw away.
Coulson.
Yeah. I don't know if they named him Coulson just to make that nine, but...
I don't think so. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because...
No.
So...
You never know.
I don't even think he was going to come back for two, even.
Yeah, they named the character back in 2008, Earl, so I very much doubt it. Yeah, 2007, or maybe 2006 when they were writing it, so whenever. Yeah.
You never know. Like, they probably assumed he was going to be the face of S.H.I.E.L.D. since you can't get... But anyhow...
Is it my pick now?
Oh, sure. I thought you had that one, but yeah, just...
Oh, no, JMS was Eric's.
Okay. That's right.
Oh, I was just talking all the
He's
way.
He's just talking over me. So when you're ready to go, I'm ready.
I just wanted to say.
How's it better? How's it better?
But.
How's it
better?
How's it
Fuck off.
Zip it.
Fuck off. The one I want to pimp is the book I'm currently reading, and it is a hell of a book because it's like 1,000 pages long. Is the Walter Simonson 4 Omnibus, and it is. Amazing. It's from the 80s, but they remastered it for the Omnibus, so it looks like a modern comic, and it's so good.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
I was going to make it as a Brian Bendis origin story joke, but I guess you didn't give me time for that.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's Walter Simonson 4.
Yeah. I'll thumbs up that one.
Mm.
Okay.
And I've never read it before as well, so it's like, ooh. Dragons.
I don't get it, but I lack the money right now.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we all had our fair share of problems with the movie, but at the end of the day, it's a fantastic movie, and I think we all recommend checking it out if you
have. I want to see it again.
I've had more problems hearing everyone on this podcast than I had with the movie, so.
There you go.
Well, I mean, it's not
that a. That was a joke. Come on, that's kind
of a thing. Yeah.
Oh, ha!
Ooh.
Yeah, go on, Earl.
Are we done here?
Are we done?
I think so.
Stick a fork in me. Sure. I'm done.
Well, I'm done. I didn't know if you folks had done making bad jokes.
Making bad.
Oh, it was not bad. It was bad, obviously, but it wasn't
that bad.
It was Thor. But
be nice to me, or I'll spoil Doctor Who for you.
That's right. My boner's Thor.
Oh gosh. We are not touching that.
Oh, come on, just touch it once. It'll take. It's Thor.
It's intolerable.
Use my gun.
Yes, I did. The
title of this episode is just going to be every pun of Thor. Yes. Earl can think of.
Thor.
It's going to be a terrific title. I'm sure of that. And the only reason I'm doing this is because everybody kept on calling it Thursday before Thor came out, Thor Day. And it pissed me off so much.
Thor Day. Thursday?
Yeah, because even though Thor technically came out on a Friday.
Thor or Thor?
Thor. Did you go see Thor?
That's like every time you try to explain the Justice League's cartoon to your friends, and they're like, who's on the team? So you're like, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Hot Girl. And they're like, wait, who's Hot Girl? I want to see you. Who's the Hot Girl? No, Hawk, you asshole.
You basshole. But I think we should go.
Make it be Thor with rage.
When people are listening to this, I'm going to be a year older than what I am now. So
happy birthday, Anthony.
can we sing, are we going to sing him happy birthday on the air now?
As long
it's only my birthday on Monday.
It's your birthday, but by the time this comes out, it would already be your birthday.
Go, girlfriend.
Oh, please don't. You'll embarrass me. I'm going to put you on mute if you're going to sing.
Happy birthday, dear Anthony. Like that?
Happy birthday.
You look like a monkey and you smell like one, too.
So, yes.
You don't.
I guess.
For the future and past birthday boy, and for our two Canadian guests and myself, this has been the Nerds on the Rocks episode 45 or 46 if you're using Eric's math.
Fuck, man, I'm telling you.
Out of the dim, shadowy past, he walks into today. Golden-haired immortal, straight out of yesterday. The mightiest of Vikings, walking the land once more, hurling thunderbolts as he goes. The great the mighty Thor, the thunder god,
the thunder god,
but make no mistake, when that gentle lame physician strikes his cane on the floor, in a flash he disappears, and in his place stands Thor, the thunder god,
the thunder god,
Thor, the wonder god,
the wonder god, Thor, the mighty Thor.
And the cane becomes the hammer, and the hammer gives him power, and that power strikes terror in the hearts
of evil men.
And never again
will he dare appear, as long as Thor,
the thunder god,
the thunder god,
Thor, the wonder god,
the wonder god,
again
will they dare appear.